Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
Now, come on, open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Glory to God. And we will look at where we have been in our past few sessions. We're talking about no more toil and toleration. Expect multiplication. Luke chapter 5. If you have it, say, I have it. All right, I know some are turning. Now, for those who don't know this, one of the things we do at Faith Word, every year, at the end of the year, the last 3 days, we have what we call a Word Explosion Summit. We saturate ourselves with the Word. The reason why is we want to go into the new year with a burst of faith, a burst of hope, a burst of expectation and energy to see God do some things for us in the new year that we didn't receive or experience in the last year. So we saturate ourselves with the Word in this three-night meeting. And every year now God gives us a subject matter that he is dealing with us about, developing us in, and shaping our expectation for. This year, or at the end of 2023 in our three-night meeting, the subject was no more toil and toleration. Expect multiplication. We've been learning about this toiling business, and I'm going to show you some more things today. And then we've also been learning about this toleration. We're going to read the scriptures. I'm going to give you our definitions again for what toiling is and what toleration is. And here's the thing about it. What are you supposed to learn today? And specifically those who are new, who are hearing this for the first time. You have a choice. You can go through this year like you did last year and struggle, stress, and strain and try to make your life work. Or you can come into agreement with God's plan for your life. You're not here by accident. Amen. I always say this. You are not the byproduct of your parents' passion. You're not here because your parents connected and got together. You're here because of the purpose and plan of God. He knew what family he was going to have you born in. He knew how you were going to be, meaning how your parents were going to come together and how you were going to be conceived. He knew all of that. And in spite of the flaws, faults, failures, and foul-ups of your parents, it still did not stop God from getting you into the earth.
Amen.
Because when he had you born, listen, he automatically had you born with a purpose.
Amen.
You may not know that purpose, but it still does not deny you have a purpose. He had you born with a plan.
Yeah.
Whether you know it or not, and see, that's why you got to understand the purpose of our lives and the plan for our lives is a discovery. You got to discover it. But you don't discover it by doing your own thing. You don't discover it by carving out your own path because you didn't make your life. You discover it by building a relationship and coming to know the one who had you born. And there is a reason why God had you born in this day and time. If God did not believe that you could make it, in this day and time, he would have had you born in another generation. And the reason why he had you born in this day and time is because you got the goods. He has deposited something on the inside of you that he wants to develop, cultivate, expand, and release. But you got to cooperate. So we have to learn, because see, we've picked up some things from the world. We've picked up how to operate. Man, I'm going to share some little things with you. Sherlyn and I was talking about, and I said, religion has taught us to act this way. And so you've allowed the world to shape your dreams, your desires, even what you call fun. You've allowed the world to shape that instead of cooperating with your creator. Look at this. Luke chapter 5. Come on, let's look at these first, these few verses. Excuse me. Let's start at verse 1 today. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. So now, get the image in your mind. There was this crowd of people, hundreds maybe even thousands. But they were pressing or crowding, pushing forward, wanting to hear the word of God. Now you got to ask yourself, are you that desperate to hear the word of God? Do you come after the word of God like that? So watch this. So now Jesus is against the banks, the water to his back, the people crowded coming forward. And so now he's looking for not a way out, but a way that he can speak to the people better. He looks and sees one of the ships, and look at verse 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him or asked him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Or we could say for a massive haul, a massive manifestation. Verse 5, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Let's stop there. No more toil and toleration. Expect multiplication. Yes. So let's look at our two definitions to make sure all of us can fully understand where we are in this. Toiling, what does it mean to toil? We've been looking at this, and I'm reminding you of it because I know some people don't get it the first time, the second time, the fifth time, the tenth time. You got to say it over and over and over in order for people to get it, because I've been in this business a while. And people already have their minds made up. We have a lot of KIAs that go to church. Now, KIA means know-it-alls, know-it-alls, know-it-alls. You can't tell me nothing, preacher, know-it-alls. We got a lot of them that go to church. We got a lot of them that watch you online, and they want to comment and send in responses. That's why I don't read no response that come into our ministry. I don't read none of them. I don't want to know none of them, good or bad or ugly. I don't listen to none of them. It keeps me fresh that way.
Amen.
Keeps me pure that way. I let Chris handle all of that. He read them. He get all that junk. I don't get that. I don't get none of that. Toiling means working long hours, trying to make things happen and make things work, and you're getting little to no results. Toiling means is where you have this activity or this labor that is filled with weariness, stress, struggle, and strain, toiling. It's working harder and still getting nowhere, toiling. And you heard Peter, what he said to Jesus, we have toiled all night long, and watch the result. We caught nothing. So we have to look at this based upon Jesus' perspective. Because Peter talked about toiling, working hard, working with stress, strain, struggle, fatigue, weariness, trying to make something happen and getting little to no results, toiling. He tried to make his fishing business work through toiling, and Jesus simply gave him a directive, and Jesus caused him to catch more fish one time than he has ever done in his entire business. Why? It's the kingdom.
Amen.
Now put this down in your notes. The kingdom of God has all the solutions for my life that I will ever need.
Amen.
The kingdom of God has all the solutions for my life that I will ever need. The kingdom of God has all the solutions for my life that I will ever need. The kingdom of God has all the what?
Solutions.
What are people looking for today? Solutions. The kingdom of God has all the solutions, what? For my life that I will ever need. For my life that I will ever need. But the sad part about it is we're not taught and trained and raised up as kids to look to the kingdom for solutions. We're taught, raised, some of us, and trained to simply go to church to fulfill our religious duty. But that's not kingdom living. Now, for what you're going to have to learn and understand, what I've been teaching you in this particular series is that there is a switch in your mindset that's going to have to change, going to have to take place. You're going to have to renew your mind.
Yes.
And you're going to have to understand that it is not the will of God for you to toil.
Amen.
I shared this with you already that when I started out in ministry 37 years ago, I must have started when I was two. But anyway, 37 years ago, God had me right in the front of my Bible, my brand new Bible. He told me to write, Mark, write. He says, Mark, if you're not having fun, you're not doing it right. Now, you got to understand, the first time I wrote that at the age of 24, it didn't make sense to me. I was clueless. What is he talking about having fun? He's talking about sweatless victory. Now, here's the thing that I keep thinking about this passage of scripture that I want to get across to you all. Let's go back and look at what Peter said. Jesus said in verse 4, are y'all with me?
Yes.
He said, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draught or a haul or a massive manifestation. Verse 5, and Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Let's stop right there. Before he said, nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. Before he said that, here's what keeps hitting me about this passage. If Peter would have stopped right then and chose to go home to go to sleep, Jesus would have let him. Now, what I'm trying to get people to understand, Isaiah, what I'm trying to get them to understand is this. If you're not careful, You'll have your mind already made up to settle for something that God never wanted you to settle for. And then you'll feel like life is unfair to you. But life didn't do it. You chose to settle. So I taught you this already. I said, you should have this already in notes. I said, now, you're going to have to understand. Don't scale back. Say that.
Don't scale back.
Don't settle.
Don't settle.
And don't substitute.
And don't substitute.
You're going to have to understand that you got to be you have to become determined concerning what God has for you. Because what did you write about the kingdom? In the kingdom, what did you write? The kingdom of God has all the solutions for my life. Has all the solutions that I will ever need. But I have a will. And if I choose to scale back, if I choose to settle, and if I choose to substitute, that's not God's fault, that's mine. Peter could have went home. Although Jesus was ready to position him, notice Jesus did not get the fish for him.
Amen.
Listen, Peter had to go back out on the boat, listen, and work. But not toil. There is a big difference between working and toiling.
Amen.
So he didn't just pull the boat back out into the waters and the fish hopped in. And that's how some Christians want God to do. God, won't you bless me? Just send a check by my house. How somebody do this? They want to do it without working. Now I got a little note for y'all. Working has always been the will of God. He gave Adam work. You following me?
Yes.
He gave Adam work before he gave him a wife. And the reason why is to show us the principle that somebody should not get married if you ain't got no job. But anyway. Jesus, glory to God. So some of these people getting married and they don't have a job. All right. Yeah, come here, dear. I can't hear that. All right. So God's perfect design. It has always been God's perfect design for mankind to work. But because of the curse, because of Adam disobeying God, committing high treason, work became toil. In place of paradise, man had to settle for a cursed ground. Look at this. Go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Now, don't lose Luke 5. We're going to come back. Let's look at what happened in the beginning. Genesis chapter 2. And look at verse 15. Watch this. Verse 15 says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it." Everyone say work.
Work.
"And to keep it." Come on, everybody say work.
Work.
This is not toil. God gave him work. It has always been God's design. But now he's cooperating with God. He's working in partnership with God. A lot of times, and I've said this before in the last session, that a lot of us, we're going to work we don't even have God on our mind. We're not considering the God factor. It's about what I can do. It's about what I can make happen. And then when on your job they don't approve you, accept you, now you want to cry foul and unfair. But you automatically put yourself in a position because you went to work without even considering God. You didn't partner with God. It was all about you. And so you got to watch it because your ego will try to want you to cause to be stroked and patted and complimented, and you're not even taking into consideration God. Who blessed you with the job?
God.
Who gives you the air to breathe so you can go to that job?
God.
And if you're not careful, you'll just be thinking about yourself. And it's not your ability. You got to remember, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit. So look what it says. Look at verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So God gave man work. Then he gave him a discipline to let him know how far, not that you know how, where he wasn't supposed to go, so that he wouldn't lose what he had.
Mm-hmm.
Then verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. Now God has given him a spouse, but he gave him a job first.
Right.
Now watch, he's still working now. Watch this, verse 19. And God, and out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. So now God is working with him, his partner, his son, his man on earth. Adam didn't toil. He didn't have to toil and say, now what am I going to call this animal? I see what it looks like. What am I going to call it? No, it wasn't about him doing it. It was about him working with God to do it.
Praise God. Yeah.
So I want to encourage you. Get in the habit of inviting God in on your work schedule.
Amen.
When you go to work, that you take the time and say, Father, I want to first of all thank you for this job you've given me. Now I'm asking you for today, if you'll give me wisdom and the strength to fulfill your will in today's activities. I know my assignment, what they've given me to do, but I understand I can't do this without you.
Yes.
Invite God in so that it'll be work that's blessed instead of work that's contaminated and become toil. Can y'all see that?
Yes.
God made the animals. God made man. He wanted man to name the animals. Adam did not have to go around and look. Okay, now where'd that giraffe go? He didn't have to go look for no animal. God brought them to him.
Amen.
And there's some of you all who have struggled on your jobs. You struggle in that workplace. And then you get mad because a supervisor doesn't cooperate with you. You get mad because a coworker doesn't assist and help you. You get mad because it seemed like everybody looking at you. Come on, man. You should have got mad because you went to that job and you didn't bring God with you. See, you determine how your work day would turn out. Well, let's leave the job and let's go to colleges or schools, high schools, whatever. It's the same thing. See, if you're training yourself to work through your day by yourself, then God will let you have it. And then you want to complain about how everything is going, whether it's at school, whether it's on the job or whatever. And it's because you're the one who have been canceling out the God factor. Everyone say, I must factor in God.
I must factor.
And so we have to do that. And you see this man, and God brought the animal to him. God downloaded and revealed the name that he wanted Adam to name the animal. Adam, all Adam did was voice it.
Mm-hmm.
Speak it out. Just like those leaping declarations I gave you today, all God says I want you to do is speak it out. Let me confirm it. So that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, it is not me that doeth the work, but it's the Father in me. He does the work. And he's still wanting to work that day. Now go back to Luke 5. Go back to Luke 5 real quick. Real quick. Look at this. So toiling means to labor extremely hard, be exhausting, stressing, fatigue, weariness, trying to make things happen and getting little to no results. Jesus came to take the toil out of our lives, period. He came to bring the, he came to take the toil out of our lives. Now, let's look at this business about toleration real quick. Toleration, let me remind you of our definition. Now, you're at Luke 5, right? Peter tolerated what happened to him. And he says, we've toiled all night long and caught nothing. But we know that that was not the will of God for him because Jesus told him to go back out into the same waters that he had failed in. Now, I'm hearing something. I'm hearing something. Watch this, Mother Carmen. I'm hearing something. This year, God is going to send you back to some places that you failed in that this time you're going to succeed. Jesus. Oh, you didn't get excited enough. Okay. All right. All right. He's going to send you right back to the same waters that you failed in. And this time you're going to come out with massive manifestation. Somebody ought to give God praise for that. So Jesus, we know it wasn't God's will because he sent Peter back into the same waters that he failed in. He sent him in the most inopportune time because Peter said, you don't go fishing during the day because the fish can see the nets, the fish can see the boats, and they're going to go the other way. He sent him in the same waters against his reasoning. Are you ready for God to tell you to do something that don't make sense to you? Are you ready for God to do something that's beyond your calculations? This is who we serve.
Yes.
He's not trying to, listen. He's not trying to do things that make sense to you. Because if it made sense to you, then you would be God and not him. So how often are you crying out or speaking out to God and yelling, this don't make sense. This don't make sense. I don't understand. I don't understand. That's the problem. You've been living by your limited understanding. And God is trying to move you into a place of greater, but you're holding on to limiters. All because of what you're trying to understand. My prayer this year is for God to do something beyond our expectation.
Yes.
Now, what would that look like? What would that look like, Teresa? I mean, Teresa, you got faith. You're a prayer warrior. You hear from God, and yet God wants to do something beyond what you can expect. Jesus. Well, we got a scripture for it. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So now, watch this. How can Ephesians 3:20 manifestations, demonstrations, and activations cooperate with toiling? It can. How can Ephesians 3:20 demonstrations, manifestations, and activations line up to toleration? It can. Let's look at toleration. Toleration, again, this is again for you, so you can understand. Everyone say no more toil.
No more toil.
And no more toleration.
And no more toleration.
Toleration is when you allow yourself to accept an action, an idea, an experience, or a happening that you dislike or disagree with, and spiritually speaking, you know it's not the will of God for you. It's when I allow myself or permit myself to accept something that I don't even like, I'm not in agreement with, but I accept. Peter did not like fishing all night long and catching nothing, but he accepted it. And I've always taught you, whatever you accept, you can't take authority over. Listen, whatever you accept, you can't even pray against. Because you accepted it. And if God is not going to override your will, then he's not going to override, listen, what you accept. So, toleration. Come on, everybody say toleration.
Toleration.
It's where you are putting up with things that are not approved by the kingdom of God. Putting up with things that are not in agreement with the kingdom of God. Putting up with things that have not been accepted by the kingdom of God. I was talking to Pastor Cheryl, I mentioned it earlier. And we were listening to supposed to be a gospel song. And they were telling us in this song, they were saying, the message was, it started out, when the devil comes and steals your joy. And then the chorus part says, just hold on. I'm in the car. I just yelled it out. I said, no, Cheryl, no. I said, the Bible tells us when the devil comes, resist him and he will flee. I said, Cheryl, that's toleration right there. And then it says, when the devil comes and steals your peace, just hold on. Then it went to the bridge. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on to his unchanging hand. Hold on. I said, I understand what they're trying to say, Cheryl. I said, but that's the stuff that has caused Christians to live in toleration. I said, nowhere in the Bible does it say, hold on. Did y'all know that? It's like the song, Lord, don't move my mountain. Just give me the strength to climb. What? God never said, pray, don't move the mountain. He said, speak to the mountain. And expect your words to come to pass. Now listen, here's where we are. Religion and some quote unquote supposed to be gospel songs that are not the gospel.
Amen. Amen, Pastor.
They are crippling you.
Yes.
Of your tenacity to fight.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Peter accepted what happened and he didn't want to fight. Jesus said, let's go back to the same waters so that you can leave different than you did before.
Hallelujah.
I got some people here under the sound of my voice. Listen to me. Now I'm talking to you straight by the Holy Ghost. You've cried and complained, but you have not stood your ground and fought. The Bible says, fight the good fight. Listen, it's not a good fight till I win. Listen, if you ever had a street fight, anybody ever, don't put your hand up. You're in a fight, in the middle of a fight, and you win, and all of a sudden, pow, pow, and then all of a sudden, your enemy gets some good hits. You don't stop and say, wait a minute, man, that was pretty good. You hit me good. You never acknowledge what the enemy is doing.
Okay.
Amen. But some of you under the sound of my voice, and you've been in my teaching and with my teaching long enough, you have allowed yourself to grow weary in well-doing. Because you have tolerated what has happened to you in your life. And how you know toleration has taken place? Number one, it changes your conversation. Number two, watch this, it modifies the way you think. Instead of renewing your mind becomes one of acceptance, toleration. So it changes your conversation. It modifies your thinking. Listen, listen. And you ready for this? It parades itself through your body language. You can see some Christians who look like defeat. When they come walking up to you, you say, oh, child, what's wrong with them? You can tell. There's no pep in their step. You don't see no confidence. They lost that pimp walk. You know what I mean? They don't have that victorious swag. They don't know what God is going to do. I remember one time God told me, he said, Mark, I want you to practice your walk. He said, Mark, practice your walk. You're victorious. You got to understand. Because, see, I didn't see myself that way. I saw myself with problems, with pressures. Listen, I don't even like my life. God had to renew my mind. And he said, that's Teresa's husband. I'm telling you. He had me practice my walk. He says, walk like you believe what I said to you.
All right now.
He said, carry yourself that way. Then he had me to practice, look in the mirror, and practice my facial expression, how I look. He says you have to look confident that my word is coming to pass for you. I used to always have this trouble look. I did. I was a champion worrier. I talked the problem, thought the problem, went to bed with problems, woke up with problems, talked to Cheryl about the problem, got mad because she didn't feel like the problem like I did. I was a problem. God had to teach me a lot of things, how to walk, how to talk, how to look in the face. Look, enjoy yourself. I was at a time that I didn't smile a lot. God would say, what you mad at? I said, because you won't do nothing. He said, I won't do nothing because you don't believe nothing. I said, oh God, no God, I believe in you. He says, no, then if you believe, act like it. If you believe, act like it. He said, if you believe, look like it. If you believe, talk like it.
Yes.
If you believe, son, then think like it. I had to go through a metamorphosis. So I smile all the time now. Because he's confirming his word with signs following. I remember getting on my grandson. I said, man, when you walk with me, you got to smile, brother. He said, GD, what's this smile about? I said, man, number one, you smile because you're with me. I said, but no, we're smiling because God is good to us.
Amen.
Oh, man, you don't know my life. I said, so I had to teach him. Now, he's learned. Sometimes he backslides, but he learned. Now, I've used this to be comical because God wants you to look within yourself. Are you with Peter? You just accepting what's happening? Complaining about what's happening? Fussing about what's happening? Thinking life is unfair to you? Life is the great equalizer.
Right now.
It's nothing happening to you that doesn't happen to anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, Maria, when I see some of those commercials and they've been showing off the, help me, what's that children's hospital?
St. Jude's.
And what some of those parents got to deal with.
And
I look at some of our parents around here who got healthy kids and what you complaining about.
Jesus.
I'm saying, man, you need to be slapped with a wet dish rag. Because you don't appreciate what God has blessed you with.
Come on,
Pastor. So we got to get to this place. I'm going to end with this. I'm trying to help you with your mindset. I want you to go to Romans 12 and 2. That's where we're going to end today. Romans 12 and 2. We're going to end today with that. So I'm always thankful. I'm thankful for my children, my adult kids. I'm thankful for my grandkids. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful because I'm approaching this year and I'm saying, God, wherever we get to go this year is because you have graced us and favored us and blessed us to go there. And I'm thankful. God, whatever we get to do this year is because you're going to bless us to be able to do it. You're going to grace us and favor us to be able to do it. But now what you have to do, my brothers and sisters, you're going to have to change your mind. At the beginning of this year, the first Sunday of this year, God is saying a mind renewal is required for a renewed life.
Amen.
A mind renewal. Change your way of thinking. Now, I'm going to read it from the King James Bible. And I'm going to also read it from the Amplified Classic. The Amplified Classic is what I want to get to. But I want you to see this. And that's what we're closing with today. You're going to have to change your mind. You're going to have to get rid of, this is what I had to do many years ago. I had to get rid of stinking thinking. I had to get rid of it. Now, for some of you all, you don't consider how you think stinking thoughts. But God does because it's not in agreement with his will. Now, my adult kids can tell you, when they're thinking wrong and talking wrong, they don't see me. No. I distance myself because I'm not going to allow somebody else's words, actions, and thought patterns get on me. And that's one of the things that you all have tolerated with. You've tolerated with people who talk wrong, think wrong, and act wrong, and you constantly put yourself in the atmosphere. That's one form of toleration. Another form of toleration, you've tolerated sin. You know people who are doing wrong and making wrong choices, and you still put yourself in their atmosphere or around them so that now you've been forced to accept their sin. You can't tolerate sin. No, listen to me. Because if God multiplied you, then now you are given an atmosphere for multiplied atmosphere for sin because of your approval. People know who come around me, they're not going to cuss around me. Why they cuss around you? Because they know that you accept it. They know you accept it. They see, my brothers and sisters, if you don't stand for something, then you're standing for nothing. You have to be there, man. And now listen, I don't go around wearing no sign on my chest and say, don't be cussing around me. No, I just carry myself. I respect people. I treat them with respect. They hear me talk. And then that atmosphere, remember the teaching on the spirit of excellence? That excellence atmosphere saturates me. And so it could be a total stranger. He can cuss, and then he look at me and he say, oh, man, excuse me. He don't even know I'm a preacher or a pastor. But something on me is convicting him. Sometimes I answer this way. I say, brother, it's not about me. There's someone who's been listening to you all the time. Or sometimes I say, I appreciate the respect. I don't go around and say, now you know I don't cuss. Don't be cussing around me. No. Listen, listen, listen. The reason why they cuss around you is because you have cultivated an atmosphere of toleration. You remember how they say that dogs can, they can sense fear in a person? Well, you are always carrying a spiritual atmosphere. Now, you examine yourself. What you've been tolerating? Have you been tolerating people to come around you who got negative thoughts, negative talk, negative body language, and then when they leave you, now you become negative? And it was nothing wrong with you before, but now all of a sudden you just find, now you're irritable. You upset. It's because you allowed what was on them to get on you. You've tolerated it. My brothers and sisters, God is saying this year, if you're going to be the difference maker that he's calling you to be, then you're going to have to choose to be different, live different, talk different, and think different. Look at Romans 12:2. I'm getting rid of the end. I'm going to leave you alone. Look at this. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. That who may prove? That who may prove? So who does God want to prove his will in the earth? Me. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now watch this. Here's the Amplified Classic. Do not be conformed to this world, this age. Do not be conformed to this world, to this age, to this culture in this society. Don't be conformed. Now, there's only one of two ways. See, there's never no in between. Either you are conforming or you are transforming. There's no in between. I don't even allow pastors around me to talk negative. I'd say this. I say, brother preacher, not disrespectfully. I say, brother preacher, but the word says this, man. I'm always coming with some wisdom, or I'll pray for them right on the spot. Toleration. How are you going to be in position for multiplication and you haven't even dealt with the stuff that you can take authority over, which is in your control? Who you put yourself around, you control that. What you listen to, you control that. What you sit in a conversation, you control whether or not you become somebody else's trash can and they dumping their mess on you. Yeah. Pastor Sherlin, I got a rule. Oh, we don't do drama. And then if she's on the line in the other room and she don't drama, I say, oh, no, we don't do drama. No, we don't do drama. Sure. Hang up. We don't do drama. We ain't picking up nobody else's drama. See, if we happy, tickle pink, enjoying life, you think I'm going to pick up somebody else's drama because they feel like life is all bad and everything? Please. Y'all pray for Pastor Sharks. Y'all didn't hear her. She said it's usually his family. But anyway, do not be conformed to this world, this age. Watch this, Teresa. Fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. What is the world trying to get you to accept? They're trying to change marriage. They're trying to change genders. They're trying to change families. Listen, they're trying to change the church.
Yes, yes.
They're trying to change schools.
Yes.
They're trying to change politics.
Yes.
They're trying to change what we used to call entertainment.
Yes.
If you don't stand for something, you'll accept anything.
Yes.
Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed. Look at somebody say, we got to be transformed.
Be
transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideas and its new attitude. Everyone say, new ideas,
new ideas.
And a new attitude.
And
now, normally when I speak to somebody and they cuss a lot, and I say, listen, the only reason why you cuss is because you have a limited vocabulary. I understand. They say, huh? I said, the only reason why you're cursing is because you have a limited vocabulary. Because, see, you don't know how to use your words to express your feelings because your understanding is limited. If you were just a little bit smarter, then you'll know another word to use instead of the cuss word. And they look at me and say, who is this man? But you got to know how not to adapt. Because, watch this, a cursed word atmosphere draws cursed things to you. And it starts with you accepting the words so you can accept the experiences. Okay. Since y'all love that so much. By its new ideas and its new attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Everyone say, God has
some good things
in his sight for me. And that's why Jesus did not want Peter to go home empty-handed. Now, one of the main things Peter did, we already talked about this, and I'm done. He said he allowed Jesus to use his boat to preach for him. And that's where you got to learn, I'm going to put the kingdom first. Why we always ask you to sow into the ministry? To give you an opportunity to put the kingdom first. So that now Jesus will have an obligated right to give you an instruction so that now you can get a return on your giving. Now listen, some of you all, under the sound of my voice, you had not heard your instruction for your return because your attitude was wrong. Let's call a spade a spade. You didn't hear your instruction. You gave to the kingdom. You sowed into the ministry. You gave your tithe. Now, Jesus got to respond. But your attitude got to be right. Your mouth got to be right. Because why? My mouth is creating an atmosphere. Either it's conducive for God or it's conducive for the devil. My hearing got to be clear. What am I listening to? And so my prayer today is that you renew your mind. Stand to your feet. Glory to God.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, this is what we're going to pray. If something in this message hit you, then I'm going to ask every eye to be closed, every head to be bowed. If something in this message hit you, I want you to put up your right hand that you want to be included in this prayer. That's your faith action, that you're going to participate. You're going to participate. Every eye should be closed. Every head should be bowed. If something hit you in this message today, I want you to put up your right hand. And that's your indication to say, include me in the prayer, Pastor Mark. Include me in the prayer. Include me in the prayer. I want to be part. I need to be in this prayer. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, We thank you for your word. And we thank you, Father, for the understanding that you've given us from what we heard today. Now, Lord, I specifically pray for those whose hands are raised. I can't see everybody on the faith call, but I include them as well. Father, those with their hands raised, they're saying that they want to be included, that they acknowledge that you are speaking to them today. They acknowledge that they have to make some changes. Father, and the change, the major change that has to be made is we got to renew our minds. Father, I pray for strength and a grace to come upon them, to help them and assist them to renew their mind, to exchange their thoughts with your thoughts, to exchange their mindset with the mind of Christ, to change how they've been thinking, how they've been operating, the attitude that they have had, how they've been speaking, how they've been processing life, that it will change in the name of Jesus, that you will show them how to live better, do better, choose better, talk better, think better, maneuver better, operate better. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, that this stronghold of toleration will be broken off of their lives in the name of Jesus. I pray that they will no longer accept things and ideas and happenings that are not in agreement with the kingdom of God, that's not accepted by the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus, things that are not approved, that you'll do a work in them and it'll start right today in the area of their mind.
Yes.
I pray for that in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, I can't assume everybody here is right with God. So I want everybody to repeat this prayer after me. We're going to pray a prayer to get our hearts and our lives right with God. As we start off this new year, we're going to get right with God. So repeat this after me. Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I thank you for sending your son Jesus,
to die for me.
I realize that without you, God,
in my life,
I'm nothing.
I need your help.
Take my life and do something with it.
And so right now,
I renounce
every choice
that the adversary
got me to choose to do.
Every word
he convinced me to speak.
Although I knew
it was not in agreement with you,
Lord.
I repent.
I ask you
to
forgive me of my sins.
Cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
I decree and declare
Jesus Christ
come into my heart.
Change me.
Transform me.
Cause me to never be the same again.
And I confess Jesus
as the Lord of my life.
And this year,
2024,
I'm going to live different,
be different,
think different,
talk different.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship, or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God, and you will never be the same again.